Welcome to Pixel Parenting, where we talk about science-based tools, challenges, and opportunities of raising children in today's tech-driven society. I'm your host, Patricia Cangas, a digital marketer, former video game professional, and holder of a master's degree in educational studies by Johns Hopkins University. Welcome to the second episode of the AI Dialogues Gaming Edition. I'm excited to bring you something a little different. This is a conversation, totally experimental, between two AI agents. I've trained the AI agents with all the research papers and videos with experts on video game addiction, psychology, and related topics, everything that I've studied during the last 3 years. So I've read all of those research, so I know what the content says. I wanted to do this test because I think that sometimes translating research into digestible content is hard, and I wanted to see what they did. And honestly, I'm very happy with what they've done. This is not the first iteration, so I've created many prompts and listened to 6 or 7 conversations that they've had, and I've chosen this one as the most relevant, truthful, and insightful. So I've made sure everything that they say it's actually backed by the research and they didn't hallucinate. So just a quick note before we dive in, while John and Katie's perspectives are grounded in research and expert insights, and I've made sure that they actually are solid and backed by research, these AIs are not a substitute for personalized advice. Always consider consulting a professional or the school or somebody if you think you have a serious issues with video games or video game addiction. So here they are. I've named the AIs John and Katie for no specific reason. And they will debate, collaborate, and maybe even surprise each other and us humans with their insights. So sit back and join us for this unique AI-led conversation.
All right, parents. Welcome to our deep dive. This time it's all about video games.
Yeah. Video games and your kids.
Exactly. And I know a lot of parents have mixed feelings about this.
Definitely.
Like, we hear you, we get it, screen time worries, it's a thing.
Mm.
But what if some games could actually help our kids learn?
Yeah, what if they're like secretly leveling up some serious brain skills while they're playing?
I like that. And that's what we're going to deep dive into today.
Yeah, we've got some fascinating research.
We do.
That really challenges the idea that all video games are just mindless entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there, right? Telling our kids to get off the screen, their brains are going to turn to mush. But
right.
The research is showing us it's not that simple.
It's way more nuanced than that. And some games can actually have a positive impact, and not just in the game itself.
So not all screen time is created equal.
Exactly.
But like, there are so many different types of games. How do we even begin to understand all this?
Well, that's where understanding game genres comes in. It's kind of like choosing books for your kid.
Okay, I like that analogy.
You wouldn't just grab any random book off the shelf, right?
Right.
You think about, you know, their age, their interests, and what you hope they'll get out of reading it.
Right.
Same goes for video games.
So how do we start sorting through all these different genres?
Well, let's start with two big ones that most parents are probably pretty familiar with: action games and strategy games.
Okay.
So action games, all about, you know, fast reflexes, hand-eye coordination, reacting quickly to what's happening on the screen.
So things like first-person shooters.
Exactly. Those racing games, even those crazy cooking games that make you sweat.
Oh, yeah. The ones that make me jump every time there's a loud noise.
Exactly. And while they might not be teaching your kid how to, like, you know, file their taxes or anything, they are honing some pretty important skills. Research shows that action games can actually improve reaction time, hand-eye coordination, even specific aspects of visual attention.
So it's like a workout for their reflexes.
You could say that, yeah, but there's a catch. Action games don't often require a lot of planning or strategic thinking.
Okay.
Or, you know, those executive function skills that we hear so much about.
Right.
Help kids manage their impulses and make thoughtful decisions.
So lots of action, not so much strategy.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What about strategy games? Then those always seemed a bit more, well, brainy, I guess.
Yeah, strategy games are all about thinking ahead, weighing options, making decisions that have consequences down the line.
So like chess.
Yeah, like chess, exactly. Or those civilization games where you're building empires.
Okay.
They challenge players to really plan, predict, and adapt just like we have to do in real life.
So less about twitch reflexes and more about really using your noggin.
Exactly. And research suggests that these strategy games can be a powerful tool for developing self-regulation skills.
Really?
Yeah. One study even found that people who regularly played strategy games showed better self-control in other areas of their lives.
Wow.
Yeah, like resisting tempting snacks or staying focused on a task even when it's boring.
That's impressive. So how does that actually play out in the game? What makes them so good for self-regulation?
Well, think about how strategy games work. You have to think several steps ahead.
Okay.
Weigh the pros and cons of different options and delay gratification to achieve a bigger goal.
So you can't just go in guns blazing. You have to think it through.
Exactly. You got to plan. You got to be patient. And
yeah.
This actually ties into a crucial element of how our brains learn and stay motivated, dopamine.
Ooh, dopamine. Now we're getting into brain chemistry.
It's all connected. Dopamine is often called the reward chemical.
Okay.
Because it's released in our brains when we do things that feel good or help us survive.
Okay.
And it plays a huge role in how we learn, how we form habits.
Gotcha.
And how we stay motivated.
So how does dopamine fit into this whole action versus strategy game discussion?
Well, different game genres kind of tug on our dopamine strings in different ways.
Okay.
Let's start with action games. They tend to deliver those dopamine hits in quick bursts.
Okay. You get points for every enemy you defeat, every obstacle you overcome.
Okay.
It's like a constant stream of mini rewards.
Like a dopamine slot machine.
That's a great way to put it. And while that can be fun and engaging in the moment,
right.
Research suggests that this constant rapid-fire dopamine release might not be the best for developing long-term focus or self-control.
So action games might give you those instant gratification feels, but strategy games are more like the slow burn.
Exactly, because the rewards in strategy games are often delayed and tied to long-term planning.
Okay.
The dopamine release is more gradual and linked to a sense of accomplishment.
So it's the difference between the sugar rush of a candy bar,
yeah,
and the satisfaction of baking a cake from scratch.
Exactly. You got it.
Now that you mention it, I do feel a lot more proud of myself after successfully executing a complex plan in a strategy game than I do after, say, mowing down a horde of zombies.
Uh-huh. That's your dopamine system telling you that you've achieved something meaningful.
And that feeling of accomplishment is a powerful motivator, and it reinforces those self-regulation skills we were talking about earlier.
So it's not just about the amount of screen time. It's about understanding how those different game genres can actually shape how our kids' brains work and how they learn.
You gotta admit, that's about quality, not just quantity.
I like that this is really eye-opening,
yeah.
But it also makes me wonder if dopamine is so central to gaming, how does this relate to the potential for video game addiction?
That's a great question, and one we definitely need to address.
Because that's a big concern for a lot of us parents.
Absolutely. So let's dive into that next.
So we've talked about, you know, the dopamine, the skill building, but let's get to the part that I think keeps a lot of parents up at night. The A-word addiction.
Yeah, it's a valid concern, and understanding how dopamine fuels motivation in gaming can really help us understand, you know, why some kids might struggle to find that balance.
Okay, but isn't it oversimplifying to just say, like, dopamine equals addiction? I mean, my kid gets excited over a new toy. It doesn't mean they're addicted to it.
Right. Right. You're absolutely right. It's way more complex than that. Think of it this way. Our brains have evolved to seek out rewarding experiences, right?
Okay.
Dopamine reinforces those behaviors, makes us want to repeat them.
Makes sense.
That's how we learn, form habits, even find food and mates.
So dopamine itself isn't the problem. It's when that system kind of gets out of whack.
Exactly. Video games, especially those that are designed with these really engaging reward loops, they tap into this ancient system.
Right.
But just like some folks can, you know, enjoy a glass of wine without developing a dependence, many kids can play games without it becoming an issue.
Okay, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
But what makes some kids more vulnerable then to kind of crossing that line from enjoyment to addiction?
Well, there are a few factors at play. First, individual differences matter.
Okay.
Some personality traits like impulsivity, a strong need for novelty, or difficulty regulating emotions can increase the risk. It's not about blaming the child, but understanding their unique wiring.
So it's like some kids' brakes are a bit weaker when it comes to impulse control.
Yeah, you could say that it's not just willpower. There's brain chemistry involved.
Right. And then there's the broader context of the child's life. Are they struggling with anxiety, depression, social difficulties?
Exactly. Sometimes excessive gaming is a symptom of underlying issues.
Okay.
A way to cope or escape.
So it's like saying don't just blame the game. Look at the whole picture.
The whole picture, exactly.
Of what's going on in that kid's life.
Yes, and that's where the parent's role becomes so crucial, being attuned to your child's behavior.
Okay.
Are their grades slipping? Are they withdrawing from family or friends? Are they irritable when they're not gaming? These could be signs that gaming is filling a void that needs addressing.
Those are really helpful red flags to watch for.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like we need to be careful not to overreact. Not every kid who loves video games is on the road to addiction, right?
Absolutely. It's about finding a healthy balance. And that's where understanding those genre differences we discussed earlier can be really helpful. You know, if you notice your child is really gravitating towards those action-heavy games with those rapid dopamine hits,
right,
maybe encourage them to try some strategy games as well.
So broadening their gaming horizons could actually be part of a healthy approach.
Exactly. Remember, strategy games encourage planning patience, self-regulation skills that are valuable not just for succeeding in the game, but in navigating real life too.
Like diversifying their gaming diet, making sure they're getting a good mix of cognitive nutrients. I like that.
Uh-huh. Exactly. But what about the social side of gaming?
Yeah, that's a big one.
A lot of parents, myself included, worry that those online interactions aren't real social connections.
Right, because how much are they really interacting when they've got their headsets on?
Right, but we can't dismiss the social value of these online gaming communities, especially for kids who might struggle with social anxiety or find it hard to make friends in person.
But for some kids, it's a safe space to kind of practice those social skills.
Exactly, without the pressure of face-to-face interaction. They can collaborate towards goals, practice communication, even develop leadership qualities within these online spaces.
That's interesting.
Of course, it's crucial to make sure that those interactions are positive and supportive, just like we do in the offline world.
Right. So we're not saying all online interaction is bad. It's
yeah.
about being aware and involved.
Exactly.
And speaking of involvement, you mentioned parental mediation earlier. Can you expand on what that looks like in practice?
Sure. Parental mediation is really about being actively involved in your child's gaming experience.
Okay.
Not in a controlling way, but in a supportive and informed way.
So more like a coach than a referee.
Uh-huh. That's a great way to put it. It starts with choosing games that align with your family's values and that are age appropriate.
Right.
Then engage in conversations about the content.
Okay.
Ask them what they enjoy, what challenges them, what they're learning, and most importantly, co-play with them whenever possible.
So stepping into their world instead of just trying to shut it down.
Exactly. And don't forget to set clear limits around screen time, just as you would with any other activity.
Right.
Gaming should be part of a balanced life alongside physical activity time with family and friends and schoolwork.
This has been so helpful in kind of reframing my thinking about video games. It's not about fearing the screen. It's about equipping ourselves with knowledge and understanding so we can guide our kids towards a healthy and balanced relationship with gaming.
I love that. And you know, who knows? You might even discover you enjoy some of those games yourself.
That's actually a great point. This whole conversation has got me thinking about the games I used to play as a kid. Hours spent building cities in SimCity.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to create the perfect utopia.
And you were engaging with those same strategic thinking and problem-solving skills we've been discussing.
Hmm.
Making decisions, managing resources, seeing the consequences play out.
You're right. It was never about learning. At the time, it was pure fun. But looking back, I can see how those games might have shaped my interests and maybe even some of my skills.
And that brings up a fascinating question. How might our kids' gaming choices today be shaping their interests and skills for the future?
Yeah, and it makes me think about those, like, choose-your-own-adventure books I used to devour as a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I was obsessed with those.
I loved those, too.
Just the idea that you could, like, shape the story with your decisions was so captivating.
What's so fascinating is you were essentially engaging in a very early form of interactive storytelling.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Which is, like, a core element of so many video games today.
That's true.
You were making choices, experiencing consequences, learning how to navigate a complex narrative space.
And it sparked a lifelong love of reading and storytelling for me. Makes me wonder if the immersive worlds and interactive narratives of today's games could be sparking similar passions in our kids.
It's definitely possible. And that's where those open conversations we keep talking about become so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Let's ask our kids what stories they're drawn to in games, what characters resonate with them, what choices they're making and why. We might be surprised by, you know, the depth of their engagement and the insights they're gaining.
Instead of just seeing it as screen time, we can see it as like a window into their imaginations.
Yeah.
And a potential springboard for deeper conversations about literature history, even ethics.
Exactly. Mm. Video games can be powerful tools for exploring these complex themes.
Right.
And sparking discussions about values, morality, the human condition, and let's not forget the creative potential of games. So many games allow players to build, design, create their own worlds. It fosters a sense of agency and innovation.
So those kids who spend hours crafting elaborate structures in Minecraft or composing music in a game,
yeah,
they might be tapping into some real creative talents that they can carry into other areas of their lives.
Absolutely. And this creative exploration can extend beyond the game itself.
Really?
You know, a lot of kids are inspired by their favorite games to write fan fiction, create art, even learn to code their own games.
So it's like these games are sparking a whole ecosystem of creativity and learning that goes way beyond the screen.
Exactly. And it all circles back to the core message of this deep dive. Let's shift our perspective on video games.
Okay.
Let's see them not just as potential distractions, but as powerful tools for learning, connection, and creative expression.
I think that's a great takeaway. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding the nuances, engaging with our kids about their gaming experiences,
mm-hmm.
and guiding them towards a healthy and balanced relationship with this incredibly influential form of entertainment.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This deep dive has really highlighted the importance of bridging that gap between the world of video games and the world of parenting.
Yeah.
It's about seeing those screens not as a threat, but as an opportunity for connection, understanding, and maybe even a little shared fun.
I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today, and hopefully we've empowered them to approach this topic with more curiosity and a lot less judgment.
Absolutely. Remember, it's about meeting our kids where they are in those virtual worlds they're so passionate about.
Exactly.
And you never know, we might even level up our own understanding of their world along the way.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of video games. Until next time, happy gaming.
So that was it for the AI Dialogues Gaming Edition. Remember, there was a conversation between two AIs, John and Katie. They were trained on real research and experts' opinions. If you found it interesting or there's another topic you would like us to cover, please leave any comments, feedback in the comment section. If you liked the podcast, please rate us. And if you have friends that you think might find it useful, please share it with them. Thank you for listening. And as always, we're here to help navigate the ever-evolving world of gaming at home. And then until next time, keep fostering those healthy habits, stay informed, and enjoy gaming as a family.